Okay. Yeah. A little bit of technical difficulties again with spaces, unfortunately. It was not letting us connect from where we needed it to. We did it. We made it. We got Raul Paul on the show today. Let's have OSF go over who our sponsor is first, and we'll get an Rec Radio episode 46.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Welcome to the bull market edition of Rec Radio, featuring the biggest bull out there, Raul Paul. I'll quickly go through the sponsor. As you guys know, we're sponsored by Rollbit. So please check out rollbit.com if you want to do anything degenerate in this space. It's pretty much all there within the crypto and the gambling space. It's rollbit.com. As usual, we'll have two codes to give out on the show, and then we'll follow it up with the loot box pins at the end. The first code is GMIMoon235. GMIMoon235.
I love how they come up with these. It's just so perfect.
They're great.
Yeah, hopefully somebody.
How you doing? How you doing? This is a good time to have you back, right? We had you on around this time last year, right? You were definitely one of our first 5 or 10 guests. Yeah. We're coming up to a year of doing this show. It felt pretty bad, I think, back then. It must have been around when FTX was going on, and you were bullish. And then we've come full circle now, and you know, Bitcoin's up 100% this year, Solana's up 150%, ETH can't even get out of bed, and then meme coins seem to be moving today. So yeah, good to have you back. Hopefully this continues.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, no, it's good to be back as ever. It's always fun. And you know, that same idea that I had a year ago is the same idea I've got now, which is, look, that was the end. That was the bottom of winter, of crypto winter and macro winter. And I started seeing that the liquidity conditions were turning and they bottomed out. And that gave me the signal to start getting more bullish on assets. And it's continued to play out that way. And it's kind of, you know, I think had people have heard me say, well, you know, Solana's going to be up 200% this year, and you know, and Bitcoin up 100%. At the bottom of that bear market, nobody believe you. Like, nobody believes that NFTs will go up again ever. You know, it's all the same. It's all the same cycle. I remain. I've got a bunch of charts as well. We can show them later about some of this liquidity stuff, so I can update people.
Yeah, we'd love to. We'd love to get into it. It's you do those weekly charts, which I've been looking at, and it's been a consistent theme that around 12 months ago, it felt like it was bottoming. It didn't feel like anyone else was really having that call, if I'm honest. It felt pretty horrific across the board. It's interesting though, your call is really that we kind of already have had a recession, or at least it's almost that it's gonna get so bad that it'll get good. How has that really worked out? Because we haven't really seen a recession as in growth in the data.
I thought we would have had a negative GDP quarter by now, but we haven't. But the markets priced it all in last year. I mean, crypto was down 80% and the NASDAQ was down 40 or 38 or whatever it was. You know, we priced in a recession because it seems that markets are now just trading off the liquidity cycle, which tends to be forward leading on the economy. And so I still think that Q4 is a recession and Q1 is probably a recession quarters. You can kind of feel it everywhere. I say this often, and find me one person who in their business has not seen sales decline or laying off people. I don't know anybody. It's not just crypto. It's across every company. So, you know, it just feels like there's a lag to that data that's to come. And I know we probably end up with some ludicrous blockbuster GDP number for last quarter, but I don't think it's about last quarter. I think it's like where we are today. You know, you can see it, you know, the oil market can't quite get out of its own way. And that tells you there's a demand problem. If we were really strong, we'd see a strong copper market. We're not. You know, there's a lot of signals to me to say, you know, things are much weaker than the headlines are expecting. And weak things, you know, but talk about weak things. The single most important thing for everybody to watch on the screen is the BKX, the banking index in the US. The ETF there. I mean, that is close to, where are we today? 71, 74. We're getting close to breaking the lows.
I have Barclays stock still from when I was there, and it is just getting pummeled. All the bank stocks are just getting absolutely hammered at the moment.
And that will not stop until the cowbell comes. It's as simple as that. And that's what I think crypto is picking up, is crypto's picking up. The more this goes down, the more crypto goes up. Because the only answer to this is cowbell. You know, you have to add stimulus here. Now, whether that's firstly stopping QT, that would be a good help, or injecting money into the banking system, which they did last time around in April, May. So look, you know, a few more days and we're below those May lows. And that's where we got a panic situation last time.
Do you think they can just add stimulus to the NASDAQ and S&P at these levels? Seems a little dangerous.
I'm very bullish on NASDAQ and S&P for the same reasons. And again, I'll show you some charts in a sec, but I have, I think that we've just had a very nice correction in those. I mean, the NASDAQ's still up 33% year to date. We had a hell of a year. It was up 50% at one point, which is the best start to a year, you know, I think in NASDAQ history. So, you know, usually Q4 seasonally is very, very strong. I've been writing about it in Global Macro Investor, and I call it the banana zone, because the stimulus period comes and everything goes vertical for a bit. And I do think that's the most likely outcome. It doesn't feel like it today because, you know, the NASDAQ's down 2%. But again, you know, I look at a lot of technicals and we're kind of counting down to the DMARC 9s and 13s that tend to give us the bottoms, the sentiment. Everyone's super bearish equities. They have been all the way up. So, you know, any change in any picture here, like the Bank of Japan coming in to intervene, we're seeing the Chinese stimulus coming. So these things are big.
Yeah, I'd love to see the charts actually,
right.
Raul. If you want to feel free to share them. I'm a visual person.
So yeah, if you're in Spaces, you can watch now live on Spaces video and see these charts as well.
I saw all the stimulus stuff announced today from China and all that. And it's been growing for a while, but it's interesting that you're kind of different to the other big bulls in Bitcoin, which think the world ends with that stimulus. It's like, we've gone too far. Debt has gone too far. There's no room to expand the balance sheet. You kind of still think we can rein it back.
We don't get the choice.
When you speak to other Bitcoin bulls.
We have to expand the balance sheet. Let me talk you through it. I haven't gone through this whole presentation before, so I'm going to quickly go through it. I don't know the order it's in, but basically, to understand the game we're playing, is GDP is driven by population growth, productivity growth, and debt growth. The issue is population growth, that's the US, been declining. Working age population is declining. Productivity is declining. And debt has tapped out. That's debt to GDP. So we're like at enormous levels of total debt to GDP. We've got no engines of growth. GDP is what pays the bills. It was what pays the interest on the debt. And trend rate of growth has been falling over time. So this is the big picture view. 2008, some magic happened. The magic was the debt jubilee. The debt jubilee was when the world blew up, when every major economy started to get to 100% of GDP in debt at government level, ignoring the private sector level. Basically, there's not enough GDP to pay for all of the interest payments on the debt. And what they did was this debt jubilee, which was like, you don't need to pay your interest. It's now zero. Right. Everybody got given that gift in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So that whole period, everybody reset all of their debts to a 3 to 5 year debt cycle. And that funding cycle is now the thing that drives everything. And I'll show you some more on this. And this is only a part of the everything code, but it's part of this whole idea. It also happens to correspond with the Bitcoin halving cycle, and it corresponds with the US election cycle. They're all the same thing. Everything is one cycle right now. And if you understand that cycle, you kind of understand everything. And it will get broken at some point. But to break that cycle needs population growth to change, productivity growth to change, or debt growth to change. If not, we're in this cycle. The population growth is what I think does change, because AI and robots are productive units that basically replace people in the workforce and they're now and will become infinitely scalable. It's not yet. But, you know, by 2030, 2032, something like that, this is infinitely scalable people in terms of productive units. That changes the entire equation for mankind, changes productivity, everything else. So going on to the next chart, the cyclicality here is, here's the ISM, and the ISM 22 months ago is the ISM today inverted. It's because everything has become this incredible cyclicality, which tells us we're at the bottom of the business cycle right now, the recession point, and we're starting to go higher. Now, ISM leads GDP by a quarter, because it's monthly and GDP is quarterly. And so what we're saying is, around, you know, a month ago, we were, or 2 months ago, we were at the low of the business cycle, which is why we should see a recessionary quarter. Our weekly leading ISM index also pointing to the business cycle higher, which is the picture that I'm trying to get across for 2024, which is recovering economy, falling inflation, is really what is known as macro summer and crypto summer. That is the holy grail. That is the one where you start to make the real money. And that's coming, and we're very close to it. Usually, you need the ISM to cross that back up through 50 for that to be confirmed, and that's when things start to get a little crazy. So the next chart is, okay, this is this rolling debt cycle. You can see pretty much all of the debt in the US matures between 1 year and 5 years. And that's the issue. We have to keep rolling this debt and paying the interest on it. And we've just had a massive rise in interest rates. And the massive rise in interest rates means they have to issue more bonds to make the payments on the interest payments as they come up to mature. We've got this maturity wall of something like $12 trillion of debt that has to be rolled over the next 18 months or so. That there is no way for the markets to absorb it. The government debt to GDP, as I said, when it got to over 100% of GDP, then there's not enough GDP to pay that debt. Considering the trend rate of interest growth, trend rate of growth has been about 1.75%, and interest rates are currently at 5%. How the hell do you pay for that? And don't forget, the private sector is in debt. What we had for a long time was what I refer to as real rates, which is five-year yields minus GDP growth. They were negative for a period of time. They've been trending lower. Currently positive, and that's restrictionary right now. I know this is going to be a bit complicated for some people, but you guys will understand what I'm talking about. The big thing is, okay, how the hell do you pay all this interest? How do you roll all this debt? And the answer is this chart. I think I was the only person in the world to find this chart, which was the Fed balance sheet basically lags the interest payments by 36 months. So the previous debts, the previous interest payments from the last cycle get shunted onto the balance sheet and monetized. This is debasement of currency, pure and simple. And this is, in fact, all of the central banks, the UK, the US, the EU, Japan, Australia, everywhere is exactly the same. They're all monetizing the interest payments on their debt. When we zoom in, we are at this point in the cycle. Q4 is the start of the increase in the need to pay interest. If they don't, they'll lose control of the bond market, which we're already seeing, right? This is the first blip up of the interest payments, and we're already seeing, you know, bond yields can't get away from 5%. And if we're not careful, it'll be at 5.5% and 6% in this panic, because we've got all of this stuff to roll. So we're getting to the end game. The banks are telling us it's the end game. And this debate.
So can I just quickly stop on that for a second? I had a big argument with someone about this, actually, in our own team, is that I kind of came to this. I think everyone admits that there's this huge problem, right? Debt is just out of control. And this cycle in particular, like, it's gotten above 100% for most economies, like US, China could be, you know, way different. Canada could be above 200%. US is like 130, 150, something like that. It's very, very high. And then I think some people who are in Bitcoin just believe that, like, the world ends. Like, this is like everything just comes crashing down. And you're basically saying that the Fed will have to buy it all. If it does that again, do you not think we get, like, my view is that the way that we measure inflation is consumer price inflation. I didn't think, and I came to the same conclusion, the Fed's going to have to buy it all, basically. Do you think that causes consumer price inflation, or do you think just kind of get swept under the rug like it had?
I don't know if the charts are in here, but I found that variable assets like wages And commodities and stuff are not driven by the basement. Only scarce assets are. So that makes it equities, real estate, gold, crypto, etc. So there's some difference between what type of inflation debasement is. It's asset price inflation driven by the devaluing of the denominator. It doesn't affect variable assets, so I don't believe it drives inflation. Of course, we'll get inflation in the next cycle because inflation is a cyclical phenomenon generally. It has not been a structural phenomenon. And I know people want to argue this all day that things have changed. I don't think they have. Other people think they have. Let's see. We can't really resolve that argument today. Now, it is impossible. That's not impossible. It's very, very, very unlikely that the world burns. And the reason being is the 76 million baby boomers in the United States alone, and they own all the wealth. If you destroy their wealth, you destroy the entire US economy. So what debasement does very nicely is it stops in an indebted society, the thing that blows up the debt is the collateral going down in value. And that's the equity market and other stuff, right? Bond market is not collateral because you don't have mark to market, which is this magic accounting that they've allowed for. But everything else is collateral. You know, if we've seen it, obviously, in crypto markets all the time. As crypto goes down, everyone gets nuked because the collateral now is below the value of the asset, stuff like that. So I don't think they can do that because they destroy everything. So you're better off to mutualize the losses but via debasement and financial repression than you are to give everybody the losses in one go. Either way, you get fucked. So let's just move on and show the effect it has. Here's the GMI weekly global liquidity. So this is the five major central banks and their net liquidity scores versus the NASDAQ. It is a 97.5% correlation. If you look at the periods where they stopped reducing the balance sheet, like 2019, the equity market takes off. Because particularly in technology and particularly in crypto, and the reason being is they are structurally secular trends based around adoption of technologies. So they tend to rise very quickly afterwards, which is what we've seen this time around as well, as Fed net liquidity has actually stopped rising, stopped falling. And so the NASDAQ took off. And that's pretty normal. People say, well, it just mean reverted in 2020. 2020 was an abnormality. Normally the balance sheet would have just caught up as the market kind of front runs this whole situation. So there's the NASDAQ, yes, 95.5% correlation. Crypto is an Bitcoin is an 86.5% correlation. It's all driven by the balance sheet.
So again, just to go into this slightly, I think people are kind of aware of like the whole balance sheet thing. I see a lot of people, even like retail traders, looking at the Fed balance sheet, all that sort of stuff. Do you think they're going to get away with just like massively expanding it, or do you think they're going to have to do it in some sort of like secret way? I see that like even the bank loans that were done earlier this year, they've done like a special unit, and then I know China just has like, was it 150% of local government debt? Like they have all like these special vehicles to put it into different places.
But I still think it ends up on the balance sheet itself. But yes, they will. Now, but don't forget, people, their voters who are the boomers benefit from asset prices going up. So they're kind of politically incentivized to do this, particularly now going into an election as well. The other way around it is yield curve control. And that's buying all bonds at one price. That's also ends up on the balance sheet, and the Bank of Japan have been doing it. So yeah, they might try and hide it, but it's very difficult. And it'll be because they break the banking system because of the bond market. So the cover is there, the story is there. I also think the higher for longer story is all about them trying to get inflation to undershoot, which I think they will do. I think it'll be below 2% next year and maybe down to zero. And I think core inflation gets to zero, maybe even negative in 2024. That gives them the cover to keep printing and to keep rates as low as possible. So just to show where we are, liquidity growth is starting to rise. We haven't quite crossed the year-on-year positive territory yet, but it's getting there. But you can see how bad the liquidity conditions were in 2022. That's what we felt in the crypto markets. That's what we felt in the equity markets. That's what we felt in the economy. And we're about to get to that positive phase. And it'll keep going up. Here's our forward-looking lead index for liquidity. Keeps going. Here's the ISM, which leads liquidity by 15 months. keeps going. Peak liquidity looks like it's end of 2024, but that's just peak liquidity. Year on year, it doesn't go negative for a long time into the future. And 23 is about this shadow cowbell. Some of the stuff we've talked about, like Fed net liquidity. The Fed have been doing QT, but liquidity has actually improved, which is why crypto assets improved all the way through. Because we've been offsetting it. We've been offsetting QT and the Treasury General Account via the reverse repo. That Fed net liquidity, obviously the correlation people know now, there's Bitcoin Fed net liquidity. There's Ethereum Fed net liquidity. There's the NASDAQ, which started the decouple. Crypto will likely decouple. It does that every time in the cycle. Once you get to this later crypto spring, it starts decoupling as well. Even stuff like ARK is all the same trade. Everything comes down to the seasonality as well, which is this banana zone idea of what happens in Q4, particularly ahead of election year, stuff like that. 91% correlation with seasonality right now. We're just going into the zone. The pullback should be the final pullback, the one we're seeing today, tomorrow, that kind of stuff. The NASDAQ, this is the semis, same. And then eventually Bitcoin seasonality is obviously extremely positive. Same reason, because they're all driven by exactly the same cycle. And it's this cycle, and this cycle's about to play out. So there you go. I've given you a lot of global macro investor alpha there, which I've not done generally before publicly.
All right. Yeah, I got some questions.
Here we go. The resident bear is stepping in.
I guess we'll just go back right away to NASDAQ breakdown today. I mean, obviously, you're trying to say it's going to pivot soon. A lot of that's going to hinge on earnings, right? And we just saw
that
come through. We got a lot of major earnings coming up. What happens if it doesn't pivot here and it continues to go down? Is that does that break anything in your model? Or, I mean, that's coming up quick.
Not really. It's generally kind of noise because the model's not necessarily about, you know, day to day, week to week. You know, it's a longer term structural thing. But, you know, I've got a lot of other work that suggests that it should bottom around here. Now, if it doesn't, then fine, because the banks fall more and the cowbell's getting closer. You know, you're at that point of breaking. You know, if you're bearish, you're bearish because you think things are breaking. Well, if things are breaking, the probability of stimulus is increasing every day. This is what a lot of people don't get their heads around. It's like the forward-looking markets, particularly crypto, will price this.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So you also believe like the free markets are essentially dead and the government's just going to have to kind of inject liquidity constantly to save the markets from itself almost.
So when you look at the S&P 500 divided by the Fed balance sheet, it's basically a flat line. So yes.
It's liquidity driven constantly, yeah.
The only two assets, and I did this, I went through every asset. They're all go nowhere except the NASDAQ and crypto. Why? Because they're secular adoption models, you know. Those are logarithmic trends over time. So when you divide the S&P by the Fed balance sheet, it looks like the European stock market, which is like nowhere for a decade. It's all the same. The whole world is one trade. Don't forget, the US dollar is the liquidity for the world. The euro dollar market rules it all.
Yeah. And then
I want to get into that. Yeah, just slightly like from a US standpoint, do you see that as... Because the dollars has destroyed everything as well this year, and it continues. Like now, it looks like it's going to go into another uptrend. Do you think it's just because the Fed's only the only real central bank allowed to do this without everyone being like, "Hey, that's like you're not allowed to do that"? Because all these other central banks, it kind of feels as though they probably don't have as much leeway, right?
So I think all of the central banks are in. I go under the assumption that these people aren't stupid. I know Twitter would love to say all central bankers are stupid. I don't believe they're stupid. I believe they know exactly what they're doing. And I believe it's a global agreement of what they're doing, that we cannot pay the interest on the debts, so we have to manage the process. So it's not just the US. It's only the US that drives the asset prices because it's the reserve currency. So that's why the US gets the exorbitant privilege of debasing your currency actually drives your asset prices up. It doesn't for the Europeans. Doesn't for the Japanese, doesn't for anybody. Japanese did a bit in the final rounds of yield curve control. So US is the game in town and everybody's beholden to it.
So it feels like the governments will survive these interest payments. I know you touched on a little bit, like how about the private market? It seems like a lot of these growth companies are startups or like smaller businesses that have, you know, rates that come to mature pretty soon that can't refinance. Is that whole side of things just going to blow up? And then does that create an effect where it just becomes like the haves and haves nots and the gaps just widen even further? Well,
part of it is just the recession. It always happens. You know, a lot of people have forgotten, but you know, when I graduated university, it was 1990. It was exactly like this. You know, house prices have gone down. It was a okay recession. People were out of jobs. Job market was sticky for a while. Rates have gone up a lot. Nobody could pay their mortgage. You know, it's the same old shit. So I don't think that's bad, but there are structural pockets of real interest payment pain that can happen. Obviously, we know commercial real estate. The other one is look at these massive old economy names like AT&T. Look at General Electric. Look at these things. They've got huge debts. AT&T is the most indebted corporate in the world. But the issue is with those people is they employ a lot of people, you know, versus Google or anybody else. And all of those companies are all cash rich. They're just making money. I mean, Elon's sitting on $29 billion of cash and he's making 5% interest on that cash. I mean, he doesn't care. Yes, he can't sell cars very easily because it's a recession. He made that pretty clear in his earnings call. So yes, that's why I think the economy is bad. With rates this high, it's going to continue and will create low economic growth and slowly increasing unemployment over time. And yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of people struggling in this environment, companies, everybody else. And that takes a while to go away.
I would love to take a small pivot and ask you. We asked our listeners and audiences to post some questions to you in a Twitter thread. So there's a bunch of different questions, but I'd like to ask you some of them, which I think are interesting, just to gauge your responses. And these are just very generic, general stuff.
Yeah.
First question that I thought was a good one was, what's your advice to avoid buying the future top?
It depends on your time horizon. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It just literally doesn't matter. I've still got, as we've all got, shrapnel of shame in our wallets of things we bought near the high. You know, and I've got, for example, some Solana that I bought at the high. Well, not, it wasn't quite the high. It was like $180. And it's looked terrible. And I kind of knew my time horizon. And so I think, yeah, fine. Some of that, if you're choosing the right assets, you're fine. I'm going to have not tons of shrapnel. I'll have a reasonable amount of shrapnel that will never get back to that all-time high, and that's part of the investing business. But there are indicators you can use. And if we know that the business cycle is driving everything, then pay attention to that. And what I found is what seems to be the best kind of zone guide of be careful, it seems to be the ISM peaking out at the peak of the business cycle. Once it gets to that peak, crypto tends to peak out before many other things. So you know, really we've got probably until end of 2025 before we have to worry about that. But you will definitely buy the high in something. Everybody always does. You know, because it doesn't mean the whole market goes to all-time highs, but there'll be something everybody buys because they FOMO into stuff because Mando's forced them to try and buy Pepe. And as soon as I buy it, it'll be the high. And then it'll go down.
Just telling you.
You don't want me to buy it. You don't want me to buy it.
That sounds like a piece of shrapnel there, Mando. You can't think too many of those.
I tried to get him in 30% higher, and he avoided it. He avoided the 70%. Yeah,
but when I do, throw in the FOMO towel, that's when you sell me, you provide the liquidity and walk away saying thank you very much. That's just I'm telling you.
Let's talk about your one of your key calls, I think, this year, which was Solana, which, I mean, obviously you were calling it, like you said, you bought some at 180, but a lot of people threw in the towel at the start of this year, and you kept banging the drum, and I didn't listen. I don't think many people listened. I started listening when it went to like 25. I've managed to catch a little bit of it on its way up now, but what's your view going forward?
So, you know, I had a very small position, that $180 position. That was a FOMO position at the time. But really, I started buying in June and October last year. And the reason being is I started looking a lot at the ratios between Solana and ETH, the Solana chart itself. And I started thinking, okay, this is actually interesting. this looks to me like we're going to see, I haven't shown the longer term chart, but it's like this wedge pattern. I thought, this looks like this might be the token. And then I see everybody talking about it as the SAM coin, blah, 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 down 97.5%. I'm like, this is Ethereum from the previous cycle. And so I've been watching it and watching it, watching it. I added and added. And then I was in, I've been looking at these longer term charts thinking, what is the story I'm missing? I often start with a chart and then try and figure out what the hell is going on. And look, I saw the compressed NFTs. I think that's a very, very big deal. It's all about, you know, ticketing and all of those use cases. You can see, you know, it's a good, fast chain, lots of community, lots of builders. So it's like, okay, this is great. They're good, high quality people. Tolly is one of the best people in the entire space, I think. But really, it was at, I was at Mainnet in New York a few weeks ago, and I heard Colleen Sullivan from Brevin Howard, is a friend of mine, talking about Fire Dancer. Just dropped into the conversation when she was on stage. I'm like, don't know what that is. I ignored it because she knows a lot more than me, so I just assumed it was something wonky. And then Tolly was on stage talking about Fire Dancer, and he dropped the thing. Oh yeah, Jump Trading have been building this validator, and it's working out at somewhere between 600,000 and 1.2 million TPS. I was like, are you kidding me? So anyway, I went back and I was writing Global Macro Investor with Julian Bittle, and we were on some Zoom call just chatting about stuff. And we were looking at these Solana charts again, thinking, this is breaking out. What the hell is going on? So I went down the Fire Dancer rabbit hole, and I'm like, oh, okay. What is being built is like the new Solana. I asked Tolly about it publicly on Twitter. When's this coming? It's like, we think it's going to get on testnet by year end, mainnet by the summer. And it's like a total step change of anything that's ever happened in the space in terms of transaction speed and cost. And it increases the security of the Solana SVM as opposed to the Solana virtual machine. So at that point, I've thought the guys who are building at Jump Trading, they're one KPI was what they try and build everything for is the speed of light, because as we know, high frequency traders uses fiber optic cables, and that is their one constraint, is how do we get to the speed of, how close can we get to the speed of light to beat any competitors? And they said the problem is crypto can't operate at that transaction speed. So Twitter operates at 24,000 TPS, you know, WhatsApp, all of that stuff, maybe 65,000 TPS. Visa's about 25,000 TPS, but high frequency trading exchanges, well, they need this kind of speed. So this is really, really a big deal. When I saw that, I'm like, this is it. I know that this can build not only narrative, but actually some other use cases.
I think I watched the interview of the guy who built it.
Yeah, amazing, right?
He works at Jump. He's like a quantum physicist or something. Like, he's not a trader by...
Because it's speed of light. That's what he works for.
Yeah.
Which is why he's this quantum physicist or astrophysicist or whatever the hell he was. Smarter than us, anyway.
Yeah, so I think that's probably true. Like, that coming at the end of this year could change things. I think people obviously have their questions about Solana, rightfully, right? Like, had a lot of issues with FTX. A lot of the funding for business development on the chain was linked to FTX, and people were scared that that wouldn't happen. And I do get a little bit wary about getting in things purely for the tech, because I think there's a lot of people with competing technologies in this space.
Let me step back.
And it's next networking.
Yeah, let me step back and say, I first met Tolly March 2022 at some very fancy private boutique investment bank event in Utah,
as you do when you're Ralph Power.
Yeah, and I was in the Web3 panel with Beeple, the head of
Instagram. One of those, eh?
With Beeple, the head of Instagram, and Kimball Musk, Tolly, Nicole, who was running Yuga Labs at the time. It was a hell of a panel of people there, and what I could see is that the Solana people knew the people who mattered. The YouTube people, the Instagram people, and I'm like, huh, this is not, they're not trying to, basically I just saw it as this is the consumer mass chain. And I could see the people they were talking to and why they were talking to them. And that stuck in my mind. I left that event And I walked away and thought, what was that I was seeing there? And I realized that, okay, what these guys are focusing on is the big play for the consumer. And, you know, we're a narrative-driven market. And I think, okay, if that's the one narrative, that's a pretty good narrative. Nobody owns that narrative. So if Solana is it, that's what I thought the whole story was. And then we started to see more from that. And that's why when it really sold off in June and then again in October, November, December, I was like, okay, we know all the FTX stuff. It's now in the price. It's probably too much priced in. We know that the chain had failed a couple of times, you know, several times, but we also know that they knew that too. So I'm like, okay, what is the market now not pricing in any upside here? And that proved to be the case. And it just worked well with the macro as well.
I think obviously ETH has been a massive underperformer for the last few months now, and there's focus on Solana, but maybe focus on other L1s, etc. And that kind of narrative that like, it doesn't need to be only ETH and it's not just the be all end all, seems to have taken in it, come into its stride. I think one thing that people are missing, or maybe just not thinking about right now because the focus is on Bitcoin and the upcoming ETF applications, is that there are four different spot ETH ETF applications, one of which is Grayscale's conversion of his current futures ETF. Do you think that could bring the focus back? Because, you know, to the bigger world, it's like, well, ETH is like, you know, the main thing that we want to focus on separate to Bitcoin, and we're probably a long time away from a Solana ETF and all that kind of stuff.
So the big picture here, so the macro picture is, and we all talked about this on the conversation we had with Real Vision recently, is like, it's the same risk curve as the financial markets. Crypto spring is like spring in the macro economy. Generally, it's a bond driven, in the credit markets will be treasury bonds. As that's, and in crypto, it's Bitcoin. So Bitcoin always outperforms at this point. And then what happens is you start to get into late spring, which is where I think we are now, where we transition towards summer, is you start to see the alts rising. Yep. And then we'll see, and we're right at the bottom of that massive ETH Bitcoin wedge. And we're getting all the DMARC signals and all of the things that we should be getting that should start leading to the ETH outperformance, which I think will happen, but just because of the network effects of ETH, because of how it's constructed versus Bitcoin. So everyone's peak Bitcoin versus ETH right now. But then there's the magic of the ETF, and people are so predictable. So right now, everyone's front running the Bitcoin ETF. And exactly as you say, Ovi, the next thing that's going to happen, the moment that that is out, it'll be, fuck, the ETH ETF is coming.
Yep.
And all of that capital that was front running that will just be washed into the ETH trade, which will hypercharge that wedge and kicks off towards the summer, the crypto summer. So it's kind of like I'm wryly observing it because you kind of know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, that's my view. I think, you know, ETH, the ETH Bitcoin ratio, you know, through 12 month lows. And I think that's the flow chart of what will happen. You get the Bitcoin ETF approval, then people are, oh shit. You know, as soon as you get that headline that BlackRock applies for a spot ETH ETF, then everyone's like, oh shit. Like, and not only should we buy ETH, but look at how much it's underperformed versus Bitcoin. And then that's when you get all the crypto native people like, well, I've outperformed Bitcoin and now I need to try and outperform ETH. Like, what alts do I buy? And then I think you get like the real focus on L1, other L1s.
I was listening to Imran, the option guy from the UK, who was on Real Vision yesterday on the Real Vision Daily Briefing. And he's saying what he's seeing is really interesting in the option market is Bitcoin options kind of open interest collapsed into this. But what we're seeing is the rise of call buying in ETH as the kind of hedge fund money. And others are starting to think through exactly this phasing, and they're all starting to buy calls on ETH. So
that's interesting because I think there's one guy out there, isn't it, who's just sold a ton of calls on ETH, who's like pretty up against it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we should see, you know, I like to see those things too. You know, you guys all know it when the market is like this, looking to go higher, and there's a massive call seller out there. What happens is it just forces this massive short covering of those positions or the covering of their delta. and it explodes through in price, which is actually what happened in Bitcoin. There was a bunch of calls out there that were short as well. So yeah, it's setting itself up perfectly for ETH poking everybody in the eye to say, don't forget about me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm mindful of your time, Ral. I know you mentioned you only had about 45 minutes. I think we're...
Yeah, got another 5 minutes.
We're coming up to that. Okay, got another 5 minutes. Great. Had another question for you from the list of questions. This one is from someone called Tuggy. What would a world war do to Bitcoin and ETH?
I laugh. I get this question all the time. And it's just like, you've got other fucking problems.
We're worried about the Bitcoin investment.
Really, it's like, this is the most ridiculous
question. I want to know what the ratio does.
I mean, it's like, really... And honestly, I know everybody's scared about this. People are always scared about this. And fear sells. The geopolitical experts, they sell so much product around times like this. The doom sells, and you are being sold to. Look, every player in that equation does not want to go to world war. Just zero. They will push each other. They'll kick each other in the shins. They'll give each other a black eye, but nobody wants to go to war. So... it could happen, but then we've got other problems to deal with. I mean, we have a, you know, so just discount it.
Yeah. Reminds me of that quote. There's no point in betting on the end of the world because it only happens once.
So, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I get this all the time. And it makes me laugh every time I get the question.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. We had another question from someone who asked, where do you see Real Vision in the next 5 years?
I don't know. We're doing a lot right now. As you guys know, you know, we've really transitioned into a platform, and the idea is to become a financial knowledge platform, or the financial knowledge platform. That kind of doesn't exist. And that's, you know, education. We'll talk about that at the end. You know, what we're doing with education. Well, there you go. In fact, you guys have a special link as well, which is, we'll talk about this Crypto Academy in a sec, but really we're also building the knowledge, the tools and the network to let people succeed. Those three things really matter. You know, the kind of knowledge you get, how you educate yourself, the tools, you know, you need the usual pricing and charting and stuff, but also AI is a game changer for people. We built the AI in for Real Vision to help people understand financial markets. So when we're talking, because we're all financial markets people, people need to translate what we're talking about. The AI Copilot is great. And then the network, we create this amazing network of people in 111 countries and this amazing map. So that's where we're going. Look, there's a massive cohort of people that have just been financialized, the millennial population, and they're all starting to trade crypto and technology and stuff like that. They need to learn, they need to help, and they need a place to manage this complicated world. So I think that's what matters. To go back to that, and that's where we're headed, just this community. And we're also both Web3 and TradFi. You know, we're building in our wallet integrations, our token gating, our on-chain trading leagues, and all sorts of stuff. Because we just think all of these worlds are the same worlds, and you can have a choice in how you want to do it, which nobody else is doing. Everyone's splitting. It's like Masari does crypto and Bloomberg does Mac. It's like, no, that's not how the world works. You know, it's all the same thing. So yes, we also did, which you guys kindly did, an incredible job of this amazing course, because we all believe in educating people in this space, because there's so many people coming new to financial markets via NFTs and crypto. And we want to help as many people as possible. This whole academy, we have a traditional finance academy, but Ovi and Mando kindly did the course for the Crypto Academy, and it's amazing. It's really good. It's super helpful. Learning from their experience, how things work, how these worlds integrate. And we've got a special promo as well for anybody watching this, which is realvision.com/recguy. And you get a discount, really? But you get to educate yourself. And I can't stress how important it is. If I'm right, and we're at the doorstep of crypto summer, the time to get yourself how to figure out how to trade this bull market and not screw up like you did in the last bull market, this is the time. So
awesome. Yeah, we Mand and I did a good week of intense filming for that one. So definitely, I would highly recommend everyone.
Well, it's just great because again,
OSF film first. OSF film first, and chose the easy topic, and then left me with the difficult one.
But you guys,
it's unbelievable. I turned up and was like, oh, okay, great.
But you guys were so perfect for it because you're TradFi people. But also you came out of credit, which is actually very similar to this space in many ways because of risk curves and everything else. And you've been through the whole experience in this space by applying what you've learned in the others and then showing people that and teaching them. That's exactly what we should. And that's all I've tried to do as well. I've tried always, my whole journey is just try to say, listen, I've got the experience of both of these things. And, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, learn from others.
Yeah, awesome. All right, last question for you, Raoul, and we can let you go. A few different people asked this question, actually. I think it was probably the most popular question, which was, what's your favorite NFT project and why is it Wrecked Guy?
It's Wrecked Guy. It always has been. Because I saw the number of things on Twitter saying, when are you changing your PFP to Wrecked Guy? The hard thing about PFPs is, like, I can't change my PFP. Somebody said, well, why don't you change your PFP to your punk? I'd like to do that. But I don't want to, you know, Bored Ape community has been having a tough time. You don't look like you're rejecting them. It's not like I'm selling my Bored Ape to rotate into my.
Just going
to
rip off the Band-Aid, man. Rip off the Band-Aid.
Put it right there. Is he an MF-er back there? I thought it was a Wrecked Guy back there.
That's an MF-er.
Yeah.
MF-er, my Wrecked Guy's there. And then my art stuff's there as well. I also have a crypto dick butts. I also have.
Wrecked Guy, not in the art basket. It's not in the art basket.
It's not in the art basket. And I've got my ape and I've got my punk, but Wrecked Guy, you guys know, I bought it the moment I saw the Wrecked Guys, like everybody else did. And the community is just fucking great. I see them on Twitter all the time. You know, everyone's, it's just great. And we did the documentary on it as well on Real Vision.
You did, yeah.
As well, because it's just, it's great. And it's the ethos of the space. It's just, it's, I love it.
Awesome. Well, Raoul, thanks so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you. As I mentioned to you, the before we started the show, every time we do these, the market seems to rally. So I think hopefully we'll just do many, many, many more of them over years to come.
We'll just do it daily to prop the market up.
We'll just do it daily to prop the market up, exactly. But yeah, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for coming. And, you know, we'll, for everyone listening, we'll move on to the spins, et cetera, and everything. But I know Raoul has to make a move, so we'll let him.
All right, guys. Great to see you. Go on. Have fun out there.
All right. Cheers, Raoul. Thank you.
Bye. All right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't get to speak much, but it doesn't look like the market's rallying, boys, considering equities are fucking looping as we speak.
I think that was kind of purposeful. It was purposeful we didn't let you speak.
Fucking horrendous. Not going to lie. Like, dude, I'm looking at these equity charts. They look, I don't know. It looks like a trapdoor.
Now get out of here.
Crypto is holding up ridiculously well.
Crypto's
for the minute, level. For the time being. So maybe you did your powers there. It doesn't look good on the other side of things, though, if you look away from crypto.
Yeah, shit. NASDAQ.
You're vacuuming your bubble. You'll be okay. Thoughts on Q4? How down do we go?
I just saw you shaking your head a few times, and I was just like, nope.
How low do we go? I don't know. I mean, like, if we hold this breakout on Bitcoin, obviously, I think everything's fine. You can play it. I mean, you could rebuy the retest at 32.31 and hope that it survives. But can it survive massive headwinds of equities, rates, dollar, which I think all keep going in the wrong direction and do not pivot, but we'll see what happens.
You're sure, anyway, right? You're sure.
I am not short, actually, but I'm just like realistic. Like,
it's just a realist.
Coming, dude, like,
dude, it was the best answer I've ever heard, which is just change your time frame if you're wrong. Just change your time frame.
Motherfucker, rents due every month, Mando. We can't just like change the time frame. You gotta make money this month. We got bills to pay, maturities, bonds.
If you're down, just change your time frame.
Mortgage. Everyone has bills. We can't just sit here and buy 180 Solana and wait for fucking 20 years and hope it goes back up. Unfortunately, the people in the crowd need the spins to survive, which we have coming up.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Second code. I'll give them the second code first. Second code is Wrecked Raoul 28. Wrecked Raoul 28.
Okay. Yeah. Now, speaking of living in the moment, day to day, let's get this spin going. Get some people up here.
We need to choose the people, no?
We got the Twitter picker coming on with our back end.
Do we have anyone from last week? I forget.
No. Let's run it.
No. Clean. Okay.
Request if you hear your name. Don't request otherwise. You're just going to cloud the bullshit and I'm not going to pick you anyway.
JBN's got insane risk. You can already tell. Yeah. OSF won.
OSF won. Real W verse. Real W verse.
Are we doing that? No, we can't. We can't.
Grab a boy. Grab a boy, which is ox owl tip.
Oh, okay, fuck. So can you
real W verse? Grab a boy, and Aki loves meme coin.
Oh, what now? Aki meme coin. Yeah, loves meme coin. Oh boy. Okay. Oh
god.
So, I found the meme coin Aki person.
Oh, I found the number of people that requested this.
I got W-verse. I got grab a boy,
and I got real W-verse, dude. This went off without a goddamn hitch.
Clean sweep.
So now we just need Aki loves meme coin.
Oh, I got him already.
Yeah, we got all three.
I'm the sniper out here.
We got all three. Oh my god! All right, okay. I will.
Who is first?
Share my screen.
So the order now. The order is the real W-verse, then Graviboy, then Aki loves meme coins.
Okay, perfect. Aki's still okay, the real... Doesn't matter. I have him. Aki fell. I had him now. So just he's fucking in. He doesn't have to come.
What are we going here? We got some good stuff. Okay.
Right. Let's spin.
One. Oh, no. Need to log in. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Aki meme coin person, request again, please. I don't know. You disappeared. But you still count. You tried. I tried to click you.
Oh, I see him.
Man, yeah, I don't know. Crypto's strong though. That's for sure. But that just today. Change your time frame. Might be weak next week.
I've got nothing in my account. Why is that the case?
Uh-oh.
Oh, right? We missed someone from last week, but I'll tell them we'll do it next week.
Says who?
Pick three. We missed remember Schwandangle?
I mean, I remember us talking about it, but
he sent me a screenshot saying he requested. So,
a lot of Photoshop's going to be coming your way now.
True.
Up this business.
That's very true.
What's going on here? What are we doing?
For some reason, it is logged me out. And okay, so I'm in, but now I do not have money in my account to do the spins.
Oh boy.
You logged in the right.
Are they listening?
Right account.
Yeah, I think this is. Oh no, it's a different account. Oh god.
Not the right account.
A different account now.
Oh boy, we got a multi-boxer. He just divulged it by accident.
No. This is our community treasury account and our
Yeah. I don't think it matters. And anyway, how are the people on stage doing? Are they speaking?
How is that a response? Like, unable to log in. That is not normal.
We got the technical difficulties. Wouldn't be a show without it.
There we go.
Losing listeners by the second.
I'm in, boys.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I think the issue is this loot box takes you to rollbot.com.
I don't know.
If you just change, change the URL to whichever one it needs to be.
Anyway, let's get it going for the real W verse. I have a good feeling about today. We got a spin ready.
Okay.
Set Solana 3268. Damn, it is going up.
It says, okay.
Are you spinning, brother?
It's the link is wrong. We need one for roll bit. This is for roll
bot. Just change the O to the I.
Yeah.
And then
will that work?
Yeah.
I don't know.
KVM's so antsy right now. He must have just like all these positions like fucking flat.
I just don't know how much risk KVM has.
His screen's just like it's all good.
All right, I'm in. Okay. We're spinning. Okay.
Real W-verse.
Here we go.
Screen's blurry and I can't.
Oh my god! Another OSF edition after all of that.
An OSF edition. Wow, we got congrats. The OSF with us, and Mando seems mad about that. Keeper returns. Congrats. W-verse. Now we got Ox Altip. Okay. Great gravy, baby. Grab baby. Maybe he's
here we go.
He's a Zarya main.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Mutant ape.
Wow. Nice. Grab baby.
Got a good one. That's a gold mutant ape, it looks like.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Dump
that. How much? A good one. How much is that? Is that 30? Is that 27K?
23K.
Wow.
Wow.
That grab is baby. A good that? One.
Congrats.
Grab baby's a panda. There you go. All right. Leuna Akiverse.
Gold Mutant is decent.
This is for the Akiverse person.
And I'm going to really draw this out because KBM's just got so much risk.
Gotta get the fuck out of here.
Oh, and you want a rec show.
Congrats.
Rec show.
Iconic.
Is that a ticket to the rec show in real life if you own one of those?
Yeah, technically, yes.
There you go. Don't nuke it yet unless you're not in a rec show. Then maybe nuke it. But
so OSF, you would have won the Gold Mutant Ape. You'd been allowed to participate.
There you go.
It's unbelievable.
That's my gift to the world.
OSF to give up his seat on there. Yeah, I don't know. It was a fun show. I mean, it was cool learning all about that stuff and seeing different viewpoints from my own.
You bit your tongue well. But you said you were gonna bite your tongue. So
kind of just didn't feel like talking to you anyway. So I let you guys roll with it. but anyway, we have two more days of the week. Hopefully, there's some more volatility. I mean, if you're a trader, you can't be mad at if it goes up or down. Up is obviously better for everyone to make more money, easier.
Crypto,
but volatility is nice. Crypto is and, up in the face of all.
And everyone who won, please send your ETH addresses to the Rekt Radio Twitter account. Make sure you send to the Rekt Radio Twitter account.
Yep, Rekt Radio Twitter account. And I guess that's it for today. I don't know.
That's it.
I guess we'll end it there. Have a good one, everybody.
See you next week.
Trade them well. Later.